Who do we have on the phone, Jeff? JP?
Hello?
It's Patty.
That's my girl.
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
It's the wonderful Patty Negri. How are you, sweetheart? Can I just say how much you rocked 2 back-to-back Ghost Adventures episodes this weekend?
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
I'm having a doubleheader.
How beautiful you look on TV.
I do admit that.
Oh, my God. You look beautiful on TV, my friend. I got to tell you.
Thank you. It was fun. It was one of the rare times I wasn't just locked in the dark and looking like, you know, when they have that reverse photography.
Yes.
On the first episode. So it was like, wow, I actually have color. But thank you very much. But I called to wish you happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
I know everybody says this, and this is all about Sheena Day, but you are truly one of the most magical people, and you are so much more than I just want to be nice on my tombstone. And you bring people together, you create things, and then you create something else, and then you create something else, and it makes everything and everybody better. So there's not very many people like you, Miss Sheena.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Yeah. Now I'm going to cry. Literally, I'm going to cry. Because as you said that, I know how happy that made my mom. Because my mom always taught me when I was little not, you know, go be rich or be successful or, you know, be a published author or whatever. She always said, just make a difference in people's lives. And I saw how she did that as a spiritual being, as a teacher, as a therapist, how she individually touched people. And I saw them change. And that's really all I've ever wanted to do with my life. And everything I've ever done, whether it was acting or directing or radio or whatever, was only so I could reach more people so I can do that. And now that we all are involved in this beautiful movement together, I feel like now is finally my time to really devote myself to just doing just that, to making people feel better all the time in any way that I can. And I thank you for that, my friend. You are truly lovely and beautiful. And I'm so thankful for you.
There. Who else is on the line?
Someone else is with us?
Ken Werther.
Kenny is our publicist and, of course, part of our Vibration Council. You're here with all council people. Jeff Floro, Jeffrey J.P. Morgan, L.A. Weiss, Patty Negri. How fun is it for me to be with my council people? And Jeff is here doing his own show at LA Talk Radio tonight, and he's just running back and forth with us, which is wonderful. Kenny, how wonderful it is just to have you here.
Well, I wouldn't miss an opportunity to say happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you.
I'm gonna spare you the song because, you know, nobody wants to hear me sing. Trust me.
How long have I been your client? 7 years? 8 years?
Gosh. Let me think.
Forever?
Yeah, at least that many.
I think you are such a gifted publicist, and I am so honored to always be under your umbrella of knowledge and beauty. And what you bring to this movement is truly beautiful, my friend, and I'm so thankful.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, you give me too much credit. Second of all, you know how much I love you.
Yeah.
Third of all, I wish I was bringing more... I always think about this when I see the posts on Facebook and on the site. I wish I was actually bringing more positivity to the vibration of the nation because I'm still struggling with, things that happen like today.
Right.
A bulletin came through that the administration is, they're abandoning fuel mileage goals that Obama put together.
Sure.
Hold on. Oh, wait.
Did I lose somebody?
Just a minute.
No.
I still have you, Patty? Kenny, do I still have you?
Hello? Do
we
have everybody?
Do I still have you?
Who's this?
Hello, this is Susie Lewis from North Carolina.
Hey, Susie, how are you? Kenny and Patty, call
Happy
back.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I'm sorry, sweetie?
I just wanted to drop in real quick and say happy birthday. That I'm a huge fan of the show. And for all of us who listen out here to the content that you put out on Raising the Vibration, it truly it ramps up the harmonics in the our little corners of the world in a big way.
Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. And you know what? The movement would be nothing but me talking to myself if it wasn't for people like you. So never forget that every one of us who follows this movement, and we're up at what, JP, about 16,000 now?
Easy.
Every one of you is as important as I am in this. So we're doing this together. This is unity. This is all of us standing together and being stronger because we're one. And so thank you, my friend. I appreciate that, and I love you dearly.
Well, I'm not going to stay on because I know you've got a big, long list of people calling in, but I wanted to give you light and love and just to thank you for what you're doing and to wish you just the most wonderful birthday you've ever had.
Thank you, sweetheart, and thanks for listening.
All right.
Thank you. Take care, sweetheart. And we're at our two-hour mark. We've got 2 hours to go. How about that?
Wow.
4 hours. Yay. 4 hours. Four hours.
We need a neon sign.
Did we get Kenny and Patty? Have they come
back?
We
got Patty back.
Hey, Patty.
So, Patty, I was lost and didn't know it. It happened.
Really quick, how do you feel about what Ken said? How do you stay positive in a world that sometimes isn't positive?
Because we have to. I mean, because I believe what we feel, what we think, the energy we put off makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's that old glass half empty, glass half full. It's the feed the good wolf, not the bad wolf.
Yes.
We're the ones, how we react to it. We can't change some things. A lot of things we can, and we're going to, and some things are what they are. Right now, it is what it is. But what can change is how we react to it, what we do with it. And that will change the whole thing.
I agree.
So it's just a choice, and it's a power choice.
I agree. And it's interesting, speaking about positivity, so Patty and I have put together this little web series sort of based on the fact that Patty has this beautiful doll that I love. I have two nieces. I have a real niece that's LA's child, and I have a spirit niece that's Patty's child. And, you know, my mom pretty much is right here with me all the time since she passed 2 years ago. And we thought, well, there's so many things out there, so many shows and books and websites and movies that talk about horrible spirits that you need to bring the priest in and the psychic and, you know, crossover children, all are welcome. All welcome.
Okay, that's scary.
And, you know, where is the emphasis put on the great spirits in our life that move us through and make us happy? So Patty and I have put together a little show. I started with some Facebook Live broadcasts, and it's growing in leaps and bounds.
I love it.
It's called Living with the Dead, because we both live with the dead all the time. And we're at wearelivingwiththedead.com, and it's just positivity. It's the positivity of our friendship and how much we love each other and the good spirits that we keep around us and how both Patty and I use those spirits in our own spiritual practices to help make others happy. And, of course, the beautiful Belle the Haunted Doll, who, you know, when they say don't work with animals or kids, they should put next to that or a damned haunted doll.
Exactly.
Because she steals every single show. But I'm so honored to be working with you on this, my friend, because I so believe in your work as a spiritual being and as a human being, and I couldn't be more thrilled to do this.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Who would I be talking to?
Patty.
I just came back.
You're kidding.
I'm getting hung up on
Oh, I just raved about you and how wonderful you were and how I just talked all about living with the dead and
oh,
how
my God. She went on and on about your clothing.
But no, I love what we're doing with Living with the Dead. I'm sitting here looking at Belle right now, who's kind of going, and why aren't I on the radio?
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Right now, because she is so in love with Sheena. But, yeah, again, just like with the how do we, the good and the bad, how do we look at things, ghosts don't have to be bad, and they're not. So
no.
many of them, most of them, I don't think, aren't. Just like most people are good.
Yeah. We really are with Living with the Dead. We really are, and we are livingwiththedead.com. We really are feeding the good wolf, right? That's really what it's about.
Yeah.
Just using ghosts to do it. Anyway, I know I can't keep you, sweetheart, but I love you, and I can't wait to see you. And also, Patty has been on Chicks on Politics.
Yes.
And I'm so honored for all the fun things. And tomorrow, Patty and I are doing a little TV project together. So,
hey.
Yippee!
It's going to be fun. We'll have lots to tell you. It should be a good one.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot to tell you. All right. I love you, my friend. I'll see you in the morning.
Have a good night. I love you all. Happy birthday. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, honey.
Bye, Patty.
Kenny, are you still with us?
Kenny, are you there?
Ken?
There.
I am here.
Yay. I'm so glad. How are you, my friend?
I'm okay. I've been listening for the last few minutes, and I'm kind of chuckling to myself.
I know.
You always have so much going on.
I know.
Oh.
That you know, the publicist.
I know.
I had no idea about the We Are Living With the Dead thing.
I know.
I love that.
You would not, and I was thinking as I was talking about it, knowing you were on the phone, I was thinking about you saying, oh my God, why is the publicist always the last to know?
Yep.
There's so many times in our lives, Ken's been like, so when were you going to tell me? So when are you going to tell me? Like when Gay Star News released the big article about me being intersex after I was in a film at Outfest with an intersex lead. The first thing I got was a message from Ken saying, so when were you going to tell your publicist? So.
It's true. It's been sort of something that's followed me my entire career, and it took me a long time to figure out why, but then I figured it out. The deal is that a lot of people, even if they don't think about it consciously, think if they tell a publicist something, it's going to... Remember the movie Arthur when John Gielgud said to Dudley Moore, I'll alert the media?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's basically what the deal is. It's like people think if they tell a publicist, it can't be kept... You know, a fact can't be kept under wraps. And in my opinion, a good publicist knows how to control information as well as to disseminate it.
I agree. I guess
it is embarrassing for a publicist. Mm. I'm not saying this to you.
No, but I get it.
You know, I find that sometimes when I'm working on a show or something and something happens and they don't tell me, and then a press person calls me and says, oh, I heard the set fell down on somebody's head. I go, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on there.
So just full disclosure, Ken.
Wait. I got to get back up. I'm putting the new caller on hold.
Oh, you can't put him on hold. You put him on conference.
Oh, well, it won't get me conference.
Just a little heads up, just so you know, Ken. I'm doing a show about spirits called Living With the Dead. And on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day of 1984, the leprechauns gave me a vagina. And yes, I am intersex. So there you go. Now you know all my secrets after the fact.
Okay.
I mean, when do you call your publicist and go, Ken, have I ever told you that I'm a hermaphrodite? Like, when was I supposed to make that call? So I guess I just never thought about it. You know? Oh,
well,
by the way.
On another note, Gina, we have Ms. Joan Van Ark calling in to wish you happy birthday.
Oh, hi. Joan calls in right when I say hermaphrodite. How are you, my friend?
Well, wanting you to spell that word, if you would.
That's fantastic.
I love her.
You're so wonderful.
Oh, my God.
A dumb blonde, but listen... All I wanted to do for sure was put my arms around you long distance from Beverly Hills to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you,
gorgeous.
Sweetheart. Thank you, my friend. You are one of the most remarkably smart and deep and lovely people that I have ever known. And you're a beautiful old soul, and it's an honor to have you in my life, my friend.
Well, I love that. Number 11 and counting.
That's right.
Because I've asked Sheena, for those listening or caring at all, what number might I be? You know, when you, it's numerology, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, that size?
Yep.
Yeah, and you figured out that I'm an 11. But does that just have one, because somebody once told me there are two versions of what 11 means. I prefer the one that's highly positive and angels and things like that.
Well,
you aware? Are there?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, every number, every astrological sign, there's always good and there's bad. That's just the way the world works. So, but the good side of 11, because you're one of the good ones, kid, is it's really sort of a number of people who have come to really be teachers and helpers and healers, and who are here to help facilitate others' journeys in a much more effortless way. And so even if sometimes we wonder, like, why did that happen in my life? usually it happened because we're here so others can learn from it. So,
well, yes, and I always think pretty much everything that happens in life is, you may not know it at the moment, but there is a reason that it happened that way.
Yeah,
you know,
that's sure.
Just the way it is.
Absolutely,
and
that's true.
And you take chicken, you know what, and make a salad somehow.
Exactly. a delicious salad.
No, what part of the chicken is that?
Yes, what part of the chicken, Joe?
I know. I'm saying, well, I left the word out, but I'm assuming there were rolling eyes there in the studio.
Oh, my God.
inquisitive minds. Make the best of it, for sure.
You know
exactly.
What?
Have you had a good birthday?
I've had a fantastic birthday. I've been with friends all day. I'm here with people that I love. Wonderful people are stopping by. Wonderful people are calling. The most important thing to me is tribe. So when people ask me what I want to do for my birthday, I find a way to incorporate as many members of my tribe as I can, because that's the most important thing.
Well, I love, you are so right, and I love that word. That's fantastic. That's like positive enablers. It's a tribe. It's your posse. It's who you hang with. I love it.
Absolutely, my friend. I'm so honored that you're on our advisory board. I am completely tickled pink to have you as a part of this movement, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your positivity and all the help you give me. You're very, very special. So I hope you have a special rest of the day.
Thank you, my love, and thank you for calling in. Everybody, the wonderful Joan Van Ark, part of our advisory board.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you for being wonderful.
Can I do a plug for something that's coming up?
Yes.
At the end of April, in Beverly Hills at the Wallace Annenberg Theater, it's part of Brit Week. And lots of wonderful actors like Harry Hamlin and Eric Braeden and Jolie Fisher and, I don't know, the list goes on and on, are doing sonnets, you know, Shakespeare sonnets or soliloquies or monologues or scenes from different Shakespeare plays. And it's really quite an evening and quite a gala event. But it's on the 28th of April at the Wallace Annenberg.
And what are you doing?
If any of your listeners, excuse me?
And what are you doing?
Can you believe, everybody fasten your seatbelts, Cleopatra. So, nice. I did Lady M. It's bad luck to say the full name.
Yeah, no.
The last event, I did Lady M, so I'm going to do a complete departure and try Cleopatra.
You are something. And just something.
And a two-piece.
Just something to roll around in your head after you've done your Brit Week and your Shakespeare stuff. May 10th, 11th, 17th, 18th, Vagina Monologues, 20-year anniversary.
Yes.
So think about that.
Oh, my God.
You're going to be getting an email from me, my friend.
Right.
Might be fun.
Oh, my. Is it down at the same theater?
No, it's actually in Sherman Oaks at the Loft. The Loft Ensemble.
Oh, okay.
I like it because they have a private dressing room and a nice area in the back so all the girls can be safe and sequestered and get some fresh air and chit-chat. And it's a lot less hectic.
So all their vaginas can get together.
All of your vaginas can be exposed and the audience can't see.
Thank God.
It's the most important thing.
Oh,
absolutely it is.
All right. I love you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
I love you.
I can't wait to see you on the 28th. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh, my God. My God.
Ken, are you still with us?
How many shades of red are you?
How about that, Ken? I'm sorry to interrupt you with Joan Van Ark and a vagina.
No,
and
that's okay, but here's what's really funny is while she was talking and I was thinking that maybe I should jump in because even though I know for a fact she would not remember me, I was on the PR team for Knott's Landing for a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
But I was sort of, you know, second chair, so she really wouldn't remember me. And so for a minute I thought it would be funny, you know, like kind of give her a start, you know. And then I thought, it's about your birthday. Forget me and my history with Joan Van Ark.
I think you would be surprised who she remembers. She's one of the smartest people that I know. She's brilliant. And she's very aware of everything going on around her. She probably would remember you. I'm so glad you called in, Kenny. I'm so honored to have you as part of the Vibration Council. And we were long overdue to do some radio, my friend.
It's true. It's true. I've been, you know, kind of crazy. But
I know. Me too.
Which of us has not?
I know.
I hope you're having a wonderful birthday.
Thank you. I am.
And we will speak later this week, and
yes,
we'll figure out a time for me to come in, and we can bitch about some stuff on the air.
I'd love that, yes. Or as my friend likes to call it, lovingly discussing.
Ah.
We will lovingly discuss
that
the world.
It.
Yes.
We will lovingly discuss other people's not-so-loving things.
Exactly. Okay. The wonderful Ken Werther, everybody.
Thank you,
Kenny.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Speaking of our wonderful advisory board, Darby Hinton is here, also on our advisory board. Look at these beautiful people that all said yes.
Listening to a lovely discussion of vaginas.
Virginia.
I come into the best conversation.
And I just saw you a couple, not even a week ago. We played poker at Don Wells' house.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
And that's a real thing. So this is...
She cleaned me out, too.
She cleaned everybody out. I saw the pile.
So this is my best friend in the whole world, L.A. Weiss.
Hello.
The first night I played poker at Don's, it was a crazy rainstorm, and I couldn't see any street names, and L.A. was helping me with the GPS get me there from where she lives down in South Orange County. And she said, "Where are you going anyhow?" And I said, "I'm going to play poker at Don Wells' house." And everything went totally silent, and then she said, "Is that an actual thing, or is that some kind of a reference for something?"
Euphemism for something.
Yeah, euphemism, yeah. It's a thing, and now you have experienced the joy that is poker at Don Wells' house. And Dawn's also on our advisory board, and I love her.
Yes.
She's on the road right now, so that's why she's not here.
I know.
It was fun, right?
Well, maybe it's not joy when you lose all the money.
No. I'm kidding. Please, that was the best entertainment. That was a lovely
It was
thing.
Fun, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
She's great. I've done
She's such a nice lady. I love her so much.
Oh, yes, she is. And I was such a Marianne.
Oh, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Were you a Marianne
over
man?
Ginger?
Over Ginger, absolutely.
Well, first of all, I loved Marianne. I loved the wholeness. But, you know, I'm a showgirl from way back. So.
Oh, no, I'm a Marianne. I was a Marianne girl.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I'm a Ginger fan.
Well.
And I knew, by the way, I knew Russell Johnson because I was friends with his son, David.
Okay.
You know.
Well, and see, I grew up in Hollywood. So I had all the starlets and I don't mean had. I grew up with.
I was going to say, no,
of course
was
not.
That a bit
never.
Known?
From vaginas to bragging.
From my vagina to all the ones Darby's seen.
Joan Van Ark and I. No. Let's start rumors.
How
now,
did this
okay?
get?
Come
why
on.
Have we got off the deep end?
Well,
I figure start
I
a
must know if I discuss vaginas with
there you go.
Yeah, well, you know, that's true.
I thought some rumors were going to start about Dawn and you. Dawn liked your
really?
Beard the other night.
Oh,
poker.
She
yeah,
did,
well,
didn't
I like
she?
I like the new look. Are you doing
you got to stop saying poker. Anyway.
You brought her. What does
it's
it look like?
I'm speechless. Do you
it looks like
that?
It looks like 1835 to me.
No. Yeah. Well, but come not on, good, Buffalo really? Bill.
Yeah. Beard.
Buffalo Bill Hillcock.
That's because I'm going back to film a western. That's why I'm all
Where,
western.
When now. Is the western set?
And it's like right around
1835. Yeah, okay, do I know my 1800s? There's only a small awesome. Part of me that still doesn't live in the 1800s. You didn't know that about me.
It's really small.
Very.
As a matter of fact, I am considering, and Kelly Rivers, who's on our Vibration Council, she and her son do a Civil War reenactment, the biggest one west of the Mississippi every year in my hometown of Huntington Beach, where Ellie and I met in high school. And
wait a minute. Where in Huntington Beach do they
do it? They do it at Central Park in Huntington.
Really?
It's biggest west of the Mississippi, and I am considering... becoming their Mary Todd Lincoln.
I was just going to say you had to be their Lincoln.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's, by the way, no thinking other role it. She would have accepted. No. You realize
no.
that.
Yeah. No, that's it.
Let me just say, by thinking about it, I mean,
she's
as soon as they
it.
Say show up somewhere in a dress, I'll get a dress and go.
Oh, okay.
No, she's lying. The dress is already
I'm
her,
not thinking about it at all.
So you will be able to answer. And besides that, how did you like the play?
Exactly. Yeah, really. Actually, well, hit punch you in the face, as I think Mary Lincoln would have. I've always wanted to. People have always come up to me and asked me, like, you know, there's a one-woman show about Mary Todd Lincoln. Have you ever done it? I don't know what it is about me and her, but so now, sure, I'll do it. I think it's going to be fun.
Well, and you love history.
I do love history. I especially love the 1800s, especially before, right before Civil War era till right about like the 1890s. That's my real time. I totally had a life then. Do you believe in past lives?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is that one of yours, the 1800s?
Or is that more recent?
I'm going back to it next week.
I was going to say.
I come and go.
You keep
I'm
living
very,
it over and yeah, over in your yeah, life, right?
Yeah. I've got to play theme. Cowboys and Indians was some of the best Cowboys and Indians my whole life.
Well, I was going to say, you really...
It's wonderful.
You've had a blessed career when it comes to the Cowboys and the Indians.
Now, did they tell you, Darby, we want the beard to look just like this? Or did you come up with that on your own?
No, I just tried this. Because, you know, I had that woolly thing for a while. And that's what I was doing, letting it grow out.
I like it.
And then I finally went, you know what? I got to start figuring out what... And I just, I walked in, because I started doing a little bit of my own. But then I, you know, so I just walked into this barber, and he was this young guy. And I started telling him what to do. He said, I don't think anybody's ever done that. Have you? I'm like, oh, just go
he's
ahead.
He's not from the 1800s.
Oh, no, no, no. I didn't have a picture or anything. I just said, this is what I want to try. But it's really fun, because I'm having fun with the character. And the more I get to research him and stuff. And it's
Cole, a real person?
Cole Younger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, he's a good old Southern boy.
Yeah.
Cole Younger?
Yes.
And did you pick the
Younger
beard?
Brothers. We're talking, there's more than just...
Careful how you talk about my brothers.
I was going to say. You know about the Cole.
I do.
I mean, the Younger, but okay, good.
Yeah.
And did you pick this out based on a photo of him? The beard?
No.
Okay.
No, I gave up that when I did Texas Rising, and I played the first president of Texas. And I once again, I grew out the big beard. And I was going to, you know, get it back. Mm-hmm. But then I got on the set, and I said, okay, I'll look. That since it's a real person, I love reading and getting involved in what the real... The first president, Burnett, had a neck beard.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah. Just the everything up here is shaved, and just down here. And even when I go woolly, I shave my neck. It just, otherwise...
That's got to be really uncomfortable.
Was that a thing for a while, to grow a neck beard?
I've seen pictures of those,
Obviously, I have seen pictures, but I've never... I won't date somebody like that.
Obviously, the fad didn't carry on.
I would think the hipsters, I would think the hipsters now would pick that up. Grow a neck beard and never wash it.
Anyway, so, and that one I came out with my own... I did big mutton chops. Yeah, because there was another great woolly gray beard on there, too, and I couldn't compete with him. So
This kind of looks like a, and I say this with love, this kind of looks like a Butch Custer.
Yeah.
Hey!
It's Custery, but Custer was such a Nancy man.
Custer was very thin.
He was Metro. He was the 80s equivalent of metrosexual. No. Custer was very gender-bent.
Was it my son or my daughter? I can't. They probably just both agreed on it. The Colonel Sanders.
No, by the way, you mention it. Congratulations, Grandpapa.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, my gosh, such a cutie. Oh,
is it your first one? No,
yes.
Oh, so exciting.
He's a Grandpapa.
That's awesome.
Nice little Easter present.
Oh, my gosh.
She's so adorable.
Aww. It's a little Colonel Sanders, but Colonel Sanders doesn't have the full...
No.
It's not anybody.
That's the thing. I looked back and looked at other things, and that's why I didn't go off a picture. Because, you know, there's some great, you know, my buddy Kurt Russell, he can grow some great hair.
Yeah. You can too, though.
Yeah.
Did you grow up with Kurt Russell? Did you guys grow up together?
Now, when I was last on here, I just had the proof of the book, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to give it to you because I hadn't.
You had just had the proof, right? When you did my Daily Show
Because I didn't want to give you two birthday presents.
Oh,
of the same
I'm so excited!
But just because you said that, I'll show you some pictures of Kurt.
Nice! This is Darby's new book, isn't it fantastic?
Yeah.
I coveted the other one, but he only had the one, so I couldn't take it home.
Because that's what I thought. It's a proof, and I said, "Well, I wasn't able to give it to her." Okay, hold on.
You brought enough for everybody, right?
Well, speaking of the Colonel, there's the Colonel.
Yeah.
Pictures of the real Colonel Sanders.
It's funny how he doesn't resemble Reba McEntire that much. Reba as the Colonel. JP, what's your take on Reba as the Colonel?
I love it because it's not only stepping out of the box of chicken, they're just doing an ad to sell. But I love Reba. She can do no wrong.
I met Reba once.
Me too.
Scarlett Pomers, who played her daughter on Reba, which interestingly enough, Moosey directed some of those.
She did her show at Disney.
She did a show for me when I was booking music a lot. And the whole cast came and Reba came. And Bush is a nice lady. So much prettier than the Colonel Sanders outfit.
Here, this isn't a terrible plug for my book. But look at that, Kurt.
Look at you and Kurt Russell. Oh, my goodness. You were just a baby then.
How old?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were both really young.
Yeah, this was during the Daniel Boone show.
This was on the Disney set?
He actually did two Daniel Boones. No, he did two Daniel Boones. As did Jodie Foster, Ron Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was lucky. My mom.
Whatever happened to all those people?
Just my mother wouldn't drive me up to
just
Hollywood.
Just fell off the face of the earth. Bam.
I did one show at 6 years old, and my mother hated the drive. We lived in Long Beach at the time, then moved to Yorba Linda. And they didn't like the drive, so it was like, when you're 18 and you can drive, you can go do your own auditions.
Oh, see, I said at least 16. Come on now.
You know.
You have to be 18 then?
Yeah. Well, no, I was 16 when I started driving, but my mother, you know, she goes... You know, every year, what do you want for your birthday?
When she
An
didn't
agent.
Have to sign the con- yeah. the contracts anymore for you, right? When it was
my mom wouldn't
you.
Let me either, and I'm glad.
You know,
I don't think I would have done well with it.
What, I mean, being in the limelight, talking in front of a lot of people,
being on camera,
yeah.
That must have been horrible
oh,
for you.
That
Gina.
Would have been terrible.
Yeah. I was a very shy kid. I'm still very shy. I kind of had to fight beyond my shy. JP's just messing with me because he knows that.
I'm like this. Okay, the meter.
I don't think I would have gotten cast a lot because I was like a little round bundle of round. I basically look like this, only I was 3. And there's a picture on Facebook of me and Mom, and you can see the proof that I look just the same. But I'm such a kind of an empathic person, and I take on everybody's isms. And when I was young, I didn't know how to let any of that go. So I think in the business where people were yelling at each other and other kids were upset and weird stuff with kids and their mom, I just think it would have torn me apart. I don't think I would have been good at it. Well, I would have been messed up.
That's where I was blessed because I got to be on a show with Fess Parker.
Yeah.
Who was just a wonderful guy. And he ran a really quiet, good set.
It's
everybody
beautiful.
Just did their work. You know, Ron Ely, who Tarzan.
Yes.
He did the eulogy right after I did it, Fess. And he said he walked on, he mentioned it. And then he said he walked on the set. He couldn't believe it was a working set. Because
wow.
Nobody was yelling at anybody. Nobody was, you know, that whole uptight.
Sets
it was
like
a
that
big
are a
shot
blessing.
Once I left.
I was going to say, yeah. But being on a set with no yelling, what was that like?
Yeah.
I mean that. I've not, geez.
Well, it was like eating a hot fudge sundae and having oral sex at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. You just came with the dirty part. It was first it was very political.
Oh, it was.
Then it got very sappy and I cried.
Gee, I'm
and then
so
you came
sorry
in
I missed that
just
part.
When the vaginas were coming
we
out.
We just
I'm
have
not
another
to
caller.
Cover the vaginas
oh, wonderful.
We have another caller. Please identify yourself.
Hello. My name is Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, Mary, it's for you.
How are you, my friend?
Please, no.
Robert?
Hello, Sheena.
How are you, Robert?
I'm doing... Whoa, you just gave me away.
I did.
Mrs. Lincoln knows her stuff.
Do you know how many of my friends sent me pictures of Abraham Lincoln with birthday hats on today? Everybody knows me so well.
Wonderful. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, my friend.
I'm not going to ask you how old you are if you don't ask me how old I am.
Oh, okay. I am, well, if from my life when I lived in the 1800s, I'm, like about 160-something. In this life, I'm 51, but it just seems so young, so.
Well, I for some strange reason, I quit counting after age 56. It's kind of a blur after that, and I don't know why. Maybe you can explain it to me.
God. You know, I can tell you, my friend, is watch your back.
Okay, I think that's good advice, yes, indeed.
Specifically the back of your head.
Well, you have a happy birthday, and I hope we see each other again, and maybe that'll be in September, the first weekend
in
September.
Maybe we will see each other in September.
With that?
Yeah, I have a feeling I might be understudying the your official Mary Lincoln when she can't make it. So,
oh, that would be wonderful.
You might
that's fine.
She just got, she
yes,
started
take
spreading.
My wife, please. That'd be fine if you want to take her place. Yes, yes.
Don't want to take her place. Just want to fill in if she doesn't want to do it. I think I might buy the corset and really go to town. So if anybody wants to see me, I'll be in a puddle of sweat in the Huntington Beach Central Park Labor Day weekend.
Unable to breathe.
Exactly.
In a corset. Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you for calling, Mr. President. I'm so honored to have you here. And please tell your friend Robert I said hello, and he's a wonderful radio guest.
Oh, yeah, I will tell them that. And I am honored to know you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, my friend. So when I went to the, of course, Robert is the Civil War Days official Lincoln. And when I went to Civil War Days this year, he was doing the Gettysburg Address, and he waved at me from the podium. And I just
you got
melted.
Weak in the knees, didn't you?
Oh, man. Me and Lincoln. I gotta tell you, people. I love that man. And he's a wonderful Lincoln. He's beautiful. Are you?
I'm the oldest one in the room. Go ahead, ask me a question.
You are.
Yes, I am.
Is
there
words of wisdom here?
Yeah.
No, I'm. That's... Well, Robert goes, "Oh, ask how old I am," and I think, "Geez."
Oh.
But yeah, you're only 51. She's just a child.
I'm never gonna lie about my age. Have you ever lied about your age, Darby?
No. Well,
do guys have to lie about their age?
No. Well, I
don't. Listen, I was brought up by a mom and two older sisters. I was not allowed to talk ages because my sisters either wanted to be older or younger, and I didn't know which one. And if I said the wrong thing, I got long fingernails under the table embedded into my thigh.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just, and my mom just believed that chronological age had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, well, there were people. Yeah, well,
I always say,
and
lie
I didn't find
up.
Out her real age until after she passed. Well,
I always say lie up. Like I should just run around telling people I'm like 65, and they're like, "Wow, you look amazing."
My mother-in-law does that. Yes.
Well, that's just
she's
that
English.
We get to a certain age, I will be doing that.
There
yes.
you go.
My mom always said how old she was because she said, "I don't give a shit," and I'm glad I lived this long.
Well, that's
and
that's
I think
really
I just
kind
of picked that up from her. Is that she was so shocked. She was still alive because she always said, "I never thought I'd live to be 30." And every year after 30 was always just kind of like, "Wow, I'm still here." She just was kind of bemused every year about it. But it never. My mom was such a cool chick and so different than a lot of women of her generation.
Yeah.
That I don't think it ever occurred to her to lie about her age. And
what was 30? What was the significance?
I don't know. You know, I don't know why she thought she would die at 30.
You know, my sister had the same.
Maybe because my grandmother was around 30 mm-hmm. when she died.
I think growing up, everybody, all my friends in junior high and stuff, I think I'm going to die at 30.
Yeah.
Or 33, the year that Jesus supposedly died.
Maybe they just watched too much Logan's Run.
It's like, oh my God.
A lot of rock and roll guy.
Yeah. No, too much Logan's Run. They just watched Logan's Run.
No, really.
Times.
Oh no, it's wide.
I'm blinking. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When I was 33, I was working nights on the Howard Stern affiliate,
mm-hmm.
and I was working at 3 to 5 o'clock in the morning, and I almost saw Nevin. I never saw my boyfriend. I only saw my gay guy friends that were up at all hours of the night. I saw the security guard, our engineer, our screener, and my co-host, who was a penthouse pet. And I turned 33 on the air, and I thought to myself, this is my Jesus year.
Mm-hmm.
And my only friends are 12 gay guys and a whore. I guess this is my Jesus year.
There you go.
It all got better from there.
and you've got to continue it, though. That's the nice thing.
I've got to continue all of it. I'm just so shocked.
Has gone on.
I'm so shocked I'm still here. And not that I'm alive a little bit, but I guess I got that from my mom. But then I'm still on the radio 24 years later, and that, you know, now I'm involved in this beautiful peace movement that is kind of like a ministry in a way.
Yeah.
And here I am. So
it's always kind of bothered me when people like lament their birthdays. You know, it's you know, and
oh
all
my
this
God.
Stuff. And I'm just, but I know so many people who do that. And I'm like, I knew a baby who died at 7 weeks, you know, because of an accident. I knew, you know, when I was growing up, you know, because I'm like, they never made it. What are you complaining about? You know, I've just never understood it. I almost haven't made it to a couple birthdays myself. I've had a couple of really,
really
close
calls.
Room,
I think we all have.
Yeah. And so.
Because I know I have, too.
It just, you know, when I hear people do that, oh, my birthday's coming up. Oh, don't mention it. Or don't, you know, I don't want to do anything. I'm like,
yeah.
Why? Consider the alternative.
Celebrate.
Why not?
Well,
why
now
not?
We're aging ourselves. Thank you.
Come on, I'm giving you a cue. You wanted to be Broadway.
I am Broadway. I don't want to be. Oh, no.
Was there a time? I mean, I guess there was a time where you could hide your age. I did it for years. When I was on the Stern affiliate, they asked me to knock 5 years off my age. So I had my 30th birthday party at another comedy club. And it was my actually my 35th, and nobody questioned it. So everybody's like, God, you look great for 30. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. So I thought that was really cool.
That's funny.
But after a while, it just felt weird. Like, you have to keep up the lie. Once you start a lie, you have to keep it up.
That's
and then
a lot
we
of
all,
work.
A couple of years later, we were all on MySpace, and everybody was like, ha, 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 yeah, 1972. Didn't we graduate from high school together? I was like, oh. And then I just felt inauthentic and weird. So
I did. I graduated high school in 72.
Oh, well, that's what I put as my birthday, because it is 67, but I took 5 years off.
Oh, the wicked web of lies.
Yeah. Oh.
I could have been.
Well,
I
was,
my
that.
Memory is
was
way
Kurt.
Too awful to lie. I would lie one moment and then, like, out myself the next moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I just
me too.
Can't.
I'm the same way. That's
I
why I can't. I was born with terminal baby Huey syndrome. And just a big, huge body, and I had a cherub face, just my whole lot. It was weird.
Oh.
It was like, so I always grew
that's
facial
sweet.
Hair, so
ran
I wouldn't.
In a diaper.
Because I always, you know.
You're like a minotaur. You should have, like, little goat legs and feet.
Excuse me, could you stand up, please?
I could.
Show us your clothes.
Anyway. But I digress.
Did you know it was going to be this much fun?
But no, it's because my face always rated younger. And so I'd go in for roles that were not only were my age group, and they go, we like, you know, we like your body, but your face is too young. I've had the weirdest things said to me by casting directors. So,
like what?
You know.
Tell us some
please,
weird things, because now we got to know. I'm setting up phone calls, so you guys weird.
Talk among ourselves.
Oh, well, we get to talk weirdness.
Just not the age. They always ask, I mean, did you do this? Please tell me you did, because I did. How old are you? How old do you want me to be? Did you ever do that? Come on.
Of course.
Okay, no.
How old do I need to be?
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, because they go, no, really, I need to find out how old you are. And I went, well, I'm over 21. What the heck is the problem, you know? And they go, oh, well, you're too old.
Yeah, if you tell... You know, and of course now you can't do it. Actors, you know, actresses and actors have been trying to get their age taken off IMDb.
Yeah, what's up with that?
By the way, and
taking it to court and everything, but
you have to go back on and take it off because they're not doing that. Hi, caller. Who's this?
I didn't think you could.
This is Brian O'Neill. How are you?
Hi, Brian. How are you? Brian is also part of our advisory board and the founder of a wonderful little band called The Busboys. Hi. Talk about destiny and lives. This guy and I just keep bumping into each other, and our lives just keep intersecting. Isn't that true, Brian? It's so weird with us.
I wouldn't call it weird, but it is a wild and wonderful thing.
There we go. He just redefined weird.
He's so like politically that. Correct already.
Yeah. I think it's a wild and wonderful thing, and it's interesting because, it's sad that a friend of mine from high school passed. And a bunch of us got together at his memorial service, including my best friend L.A., and a bunch of us that were his age, that were all the same age that graduated in 85, stayed up really late and talked. And now I've been in communication with a bunch of people. And, of course, everyone's talking about prom. And the Busboys played my senior prom at the Disneyland Hotel.
Oh,
my
gosh.
And that was the first time Brian and I intersected that we know of. And then when I was booking my first club, booking music in 1994, I booked this amazing band called Black Bart, which, unbeknownst to me until he did my first radio show, was Brian's side project. And then there we were again. And then a few years later, I was here at LA Talk Radio, and I was friends with a publicist named Bobby Cowan, and she said, you know who I'd really love to get on your show is Brian O'Neill. Do you know him? And I thought, bring him on. And now since email, we just don't allow ourselves to get out of touch, Brian. So now the story's just we're always in touch.
Yes, we are. And the better for that, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you, my friend.
What's been going on? I haven't been in touch with you the last, few weeks. What's going on?
I'm just busy. I'm getting ready to direct the Vagina Monologues for charity again. We're at the Improv for my official birthday party on the 29th. The movement is moving along beautifully.
Amazingly.
We're trying to get the website up this month, so that'll be exciting. And trying to put together some gatherings, which I think will be really beautiful, where people can get together in person and we can all sort of share the love and people can intersect with people and meet people. And more love and positivity, and I'm just moving along with a million things. What are you up to, my friend?
Oh, that all sounds great. I'm producing a really wonderful pianist who is Turkish. Her name is Aisha, and she's a classically trained pianist, and it's a classical project. But her primary goal in the recording of her first project, I guess, the Apricot Tree, is to try to find a bridge, or help to build a bridge, I should say, between Turkish and Armenian peoples.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And as you know, that's a big deal, and she's very sensitive to it, and it's a great project. Mm. A little challenging. It reminds me of, in some ways, of the civil rights movement that I got the chance to participate in as a child.
Yeah.
With my parents.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's good. I'm working on that. I'm getting this television show should be up and running before the year's out.
So exciting.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then I'm making some more music that I keep telling myself I'm going to release. So there you go.
I love that. You're such a gifted musician and such a talented person. That your music should be everywhere. It should just be everywhere, my friend. You know how much I believe in you.
I do, and I it's same here. So glad to hear so many things that are happening that are good there. And you know, I'm always there for you in any way, shape, form, or fashion that I can be.
I love that, and I can't wait for that. And I would love to, when we get these gatherings put together. My plan is to speak a little bit on behalf of the movement, and then sort of open up microphones and let people in the audience talk a little bit about how they're feeling in the world and how they think they could benefit from a little vibrational raising, and then maybe do a little reception with some music and people hanging out a little bit, and maybe you'd come and play one of those for me and share some of your beautiful music with the world. I'd love that.
That's something I could do. I'll bring all my spoons.
Oh yeah, and your washboard and your jug. And then you'll be as Irish.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that was my bad.
Uh-oh. Did I lose you, Brian?
Sorry about that, Brian. We also have Cynthia Rothrock calling in to wish you happy birthday.
Hi, Cynthia. Hi, Brian. I'm sorry I got to let you go, sweetheart, but thank you for calling. I adore you. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, happy birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart. Cynthia is a part of our advisory board. Oh, and a wonderful person. Somebody's phone is too loud. And I'm being like a scoldy teacher, Cynthia. I am so honored to have you as part of our advisory board, Cynthia, because you are seriously a woman who's kicked ass and really a groundbreaker for women in your field. That's exactly the kind of people I want involved in this.
Hello?
Hello, Cynthia?
Oh, hi.
Only thing about that, now you got a three-way phone call going on here.
You know what? I'm good at the three-way. I'm very good at the three.
Okay, time to put the headphones back on.
Oh, yeah.
You could give me a little more notice, but go ahead.
I know. Usually I tell Brian when there's going to be a three-way, but I just sprang it on him tonight. You know, when I put this advisory board together, it was so important to me to have different people that I loved who had had different stories and different experiences in their life as part of this. And Cynthia, you know, long before we were having the open discussion about women's equality, you moved into a field of action films and martial arts films that there really weren't women in, and sort of dominated that industry.
Right.
And that's you're an inspiration to any little girl who takes a karate class or wants to be an action hero. And also, you're just a fantastic spiritual chick that's done like amazing adventurous things, like onto Mount Everest base camp and
really,
Cynthia. This is Cynthia Rothrock. She's an adventurer.
Oh,
Cynthia. I am. My next trip going in August. I'm climbing Mount Fuji.
Oh,
I always wanted to go to base camp. I went to Nepal, but I never got to go to base camp.
I just got back from Patagonia. I had the W trek there, too.
Oh, now you're just bragging.
Wow.
I like it.
I walked up the stairs to the studio today.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I walked to the garage once today. Cynthia, have you done Machu Picchu?
I did. I trekked the Inca Trail up to Machu Picchu.
So when you're doing something like that, because I think all of us in this room connect nature and spirituality. When you're doing something like that, is it a spiritual experience to be in a place like Everest Base Camp or Nepal or up the steps of Machu Picchu? I mean, is it, can you sort of feel like you're connected with spirit there?
Oh, totally, totally. Because it's just, you know, you're at a place that you could only dream of being, especially like Everest Base Camp. It's such a challenge and it's so hard to get up there. But, you know, one thing I love about it is that, you know, you're on top of this mountain that, and you're just looking at this scenery and you're just in awe of the world and, you know, what, how it was created. And, you know, at Machu Picchu, the thing that I was in awe of is that, you know, these Incas traveled by foot this trail that was kick-ass trail. It was hard. It took us 4 days trekking like 12 hours a day, you know, probably like sandals or, you know, shoes that we have the big trekking shoes on and all the gear. And they carried all these stones from Machu Picchu and hid that from the Spaniards. It was just, it's just awesome, you know. I mean, you go back into history,
yeah.
You feel the energy, you know. It's just incredible. It's like, you know, you just can't even believe some of these places. They're like, you know, you're standing at the top of Fitzroy, you know, and you're going, oh my gosh, this is just amazing, you know. You just feel like you're dreaming, you're daydreaming, you know.
Wow. Darby, have you done any of that? Have you hiked anywhere or gone to any, like, of the wonders of the world? Have you been to any of those?
Well, I've been around the world a number of times.
I know.
And but the hiking, yeah, no, I do good to make Runyon Canyon up here.
Okay. Brian, have you?
Wow. He's like, but my wife gets out of bed 5 o'clock in the morning every and does 5-mile hikes.
You're
and everything.
Kidding. Wow.
No, she.
Does she do
that? She would love that. I'll do it Fryman on a dirt bike.
Did you do them all or?
Oh, she does the Hollywood sign, and
oh
she does
all,
and the Wisdom Tree, and she always takes bags with her because she's picking up the
See,
trash.
See, this is why I put
way.
My bed against the far wall of my bedroom, so the walk to the bathroom is further.
good for you. Very important.
Without that, there'd be no exercise.
Brian, have you done any of that? Have you done any of the wonders of the world or done any extraordinary feats of nature?
There you go.
Brian?
Brian hung up.
Oh. Oh, well, JP, now you tell me. Why is he here asking a question and waiting for a response? And no one's saying anything.
But I'm true.
Goodbye, Brian.
But I would love that. No, and I do love nature. Like, I love rafting down rivers and...
I like water things.
Uh-oh, people are crashing
here we
my
go.
Oh, we have a big crash. Go ahead.
Hang on one sec.
You got to get it behind her so we can get you on film.
Hang on one sec, guys. Cynthia, thank you so much for calling in. We're long over radio, sweetheart. Let's do it soon.
Okay, happy birthday. Love you.
I love you, sweetheart. Thanks for being on the advisory board. I'm so honored.
We've got troubadours.
Okay, we've got troubadours in here.
We're getting ready to do All About Guitar, and my guest is Johnny Chops.
Hi, Johnny. Johnny
and
Chops.
Carlos Calvo, both great guitar
Ooh,
players.
Ooh, yay.
So, and Jeff's All About Guitar. Jeff, talking to the mic, sweetheart.
And so we decided that we would crash your party.
Okay.
And sing happy birthday. So everybody out there, everybody in here, let's all participate. Okay.
Here
we go.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sheena. Happy birthday to me. Bravo! Thank you, gentlemen. How awesome.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Where can people find these lovely gentlemen online, Jeff?
You can find me at
channel... Right here, right here.
You can find me on Channel 1, which we're going to be starting in a few minutes at all about LA Talk Radio, All About Guitar. Also, check out websites, Carlos Calvo, dumb, and JohnnyChopsMusic.com. I just edited clips for the show. His albums are amazing. And Carlos has been on my show before, and his guitar playing... And he's coming out with a new single, too. Amazing stuff. Just
wonderful.
Really cool.
Yay!
Really cool.
You can come in here and plug. Really.
And
no, you can plug.
I'm going to plug them real quick. On April 4th?
5th.
This
Thursday.
This Thursday at the Universal Bar and Grill.
Beautiful.
Just up on Lancashire.
I booked the Bar and Grill for
they're,
years.
They're
Thursday
playing.
Nights every year.
They're playing. So
awesome.
If you guys are in the area, check them out. I'm telling you, these guys are great. You really like them. true. So I had to crash and sing happy birthday.
Oh, are you kidding? I love this. Well,
you guys grab my cards on the way out in the lobby. Come do my show. I'd be honored. Thank you for singing me happy birthday.
All right. I'm going to hold it, let this balloon go back up. And
nice.
I had to pull it down. You couldn't see the guy.
Hey, don't pull on my balloon. Thank you, guys. Have a good show.
Nice. We're waiting for you to bring it.
It's always a party here, isn't it, Darby?
It is.
It's
I
fun,
love it.
Isn't it?
It is.
Where else could you do like this? And well, since how we're pitching things, I've got nothing going on in my life. How about you?
Oh. I
it'd probably be a good opportunity to tell people because things come up.
Oh, yeah.
I have hair.
I love this.
Oh, yeah.
A few people
her?
Have said things about what happened to her head. Up until literally a week ago, my hair was purple with a little bit
this
of green right
is,
here.
Yeah.
And then, so I picked the wrong week to go blue and green because we're using green screen here. I look like shaved the middle of my head, and I haven't. I really
like
do have hair.
You got scalped.
Yeah, it does. Like I got scalped.
That's okay.
I really
Darby
do have hair.
Take
we'll
care
have
of that.
To like post a picture or something so you can see what it
okay,
actually
so,
looks like.
So,
what I've got going on in my life is I do have hair.
So I have to say, so our wonderful station owner, Sam, who's amazing, He's such a sweet and lovely, well-mannered guy. Can you come sit in my office for a minute? And I said, yeah. And I thought, oh, God, what did I do? And he showed me the screen. He said, so what are we going to do about this? And there was Lisa without a head, LA. And I said, you know what? Let's just, we'll just let it go.
After everything I went through to, like, come back from being... Then I go on Facebook Live and I look bald.
Did you guys read this? The official LA Talk Radio statement. We apologize to our guests for our guest missing scalp, but we could not do anything about the green hair. We use green screen video and the hair just disappears.
Okay, it's time. Next time.
It's fantastic.
Next time we do a Facebook Live,
wear a hat.
Give me, like, a week's notice. And, well, I think I had a week, but it was, like, literally the day of. And then I will go back to purple.
Okay.
Because it's, the vibration color.
I know, right.
And I can go back to purple. I think last time, because it was all purple, like, this part was green, just that part didn't show. So
but
that
it
was weird,
cool
too.
On
it does look like a scalp. It reminds me, what was that movie that had the really scary female robot in it? And
yes,
she had, like, a face and no head. What was that, Darby?
Oh, yeah.
Was it iRobot?
No.
No. This was a 1920, like a 1924.
20s. No. It was current.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about.
She definitely was female. And she had, like, a slight little body.
Ex
Machina.
Oh. Machina?
I don't think I've seen
or whatever
that.
It was called. Yeah.
Is that it?
Something like that.
Yeah,
because
she does.
It's like her face just floats.
So I come in and ask you if you had a hat and tell you to put it on because I just left Sam's office.
I could have brought a hat.
And then Carolyn Hennessy showed up and I was like, oh, Carolyn's here. And then I went, whoops, squirrel. And I completely forgot.
That's all right.
You weren't going to have a head. But it is pretty funny.
You know, it's, yeah.
I have my cowboy hat, that I could. It would probably go down to your nose, though.
I should have brought a beanie.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, birthday girl. It's Gretchen Bonaducci.
Hi, Gretchen.
I love you.
How are you, my friend? Gretchen is also part of our wonderful advisory board, and
yay.
I'm so honored to have you as a part of that because you're a person, Gretchen, who always brings positivity and love and kindness everywhere you go, and you're an example for all people, and I appreciate you.
Well, you know what? I really try. I think I was kind of raised in a really strict Southern Baptist family who taught me, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything. And sometimes I can't. I try really hard to do it most of the time.
Well, if you can't, come sit next to me.
Yes, exactly. I was raised by a Scorpio, so it was a little bit of, if you've got nothing nice to say, come sit by me.
Yeah.
No, I was completely the opposite of that. But you know what? It's a really good way to live.
I agree.
Feel like being positive and trying to help people, it's just kind of makes your life better.
I completely agree.
It's a great thing to be in a position where you might be able to help someone.
And you've been such a good friend to me over the last however many years we've been friends, sweetie. And also... so supportive when I started this movement, because I think a lot of people when I were like, you're doing what? And you've always been so supportive of it and wonderful to come out and support and to be a guest on this show for me and now to be on our advisory board. And like I said, I'm just honored and thrilled.
Well, I mean, who's against that? Who's against raising the vibration? We need to speak to these people. Get them on board.
I think that we've gotten to a point as human beings where we've gotten kind of obsessed with the fight and with the being nasty to each other. JP and I talk about this all the time. JP's in studio with me right now.
Hi, JP.
Hey, Gretchen, you gorgeous woman.
How people just want to argue, you know? They just want to...
Yeah, no, it's... I think what's happened is that when you say something positive, there's so much negativity.
Yeah.
And we've discussed about how the darkness has just been sweeping in as if someone said, oh, it's okay now. We can have the darkness.
Come on in, darkness.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But
in a lot of ways, but I feel like it's changing.
I do too.
Yes, but they've had
the youth movement. Yeah. With the gun situation.
Yes.
How?
But we've had 13 months of a darkness being opened up and unchecked.
I think we've had a lot longer than that.
True, but this just recently, it's just been like,
you know what I think it's like? If you, I have a lot of friends that have dogs. I do not have a dog. I did for a long time, but I don't now.
Oh.
If you raise a dog on nothing but cuddles and snuggles and love, that dog is going to be nice to everybody, licking people, not scared of people, nice to strangers. If you raise a dog to be fearful, a dog will grow up and be fearful. Mm-hmm. And I think as human beings in this world and in our country, somehow the way that media and pop culture has gotten very cynical and very sarcastic and very nasty, it's and people being raised by their phones and by their televisions, I think we almost have sort of raised some generations of people to naturally go to the sarcasm, the cynicism, the nastiness.
The sitcom.
Exactly. And I think it's changed us as people, and
I don't know if you agree with me that also I think a lot of the video games being violent, kids growing up that way,
it's another kind of medium,
sort of desensitized them a bit, you know, into real violence, and I think there's an argument for that.
Well, I'm going to agree and kind of disagree. And the only reason is I grew up with the original Warner Brothers.
Thank you. I was going right there.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
All of the Looney Tunes.
Bunny was kind of a dick.
And they were all extremely violent.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. Yosemite Sam. I mean, we can go
the Roadrunner.
But, you know, but we all knew that
they were like cartoon characters. Like, I would never allow my son to play. I forgot what the name of that game was where you...
Grand Theft Auto?
Officers.
Yeah, that's Grand Theft Auto. I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's also war games out there that my nephews play that are
extremely realistic.
That I do agree with. But in the sense that... and those, by the way, the ones we just mentioned... are also played in groups where you get in and you can play with other people.
So JP, what do you think the answer is? Because you were joking earlier that you're the oldest one here.
I am.
What do you think that why do you think that people have become so eager to get into a fight and wary of peace?
I don't think they are, though.
No, it's not.
I think now if you get into a fight, everybody stands and videos it and eggs them on.
Yeah, pretty much.
And eggs them on. In the old days, they jumped. I mean, I saw that going down Fairfax. I was in there. School was letting out. There was a fight going on, and everybody was standing around.
With their phones out.
Yeah.
And they only...
Nobody stepped
sad.
In.
Yeah,
that's the difference. No one's stepping up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
everybody's detached.
Yeah,
there is a detachment.
And this is where I agree with you, Gretchen. That detachment, I think, comes from those video games because it does anesthetize you. It says, "Hi, we're going to blow this person. We have to beat up them on the street to steal this car."
Yeah,
and it's like, what the heck?
But that's terrible.
Thank you. But it's right now. Yes. This is where our society is. And I don't see it swinging to the good side, shall we say, where they're not going to do that until we get good people in charge. And I mean everybody good, not just this, that. And I'm anti-violent. I registered as because I was raised Quaker.
Oh.
I registered for the draft as a non-combatant, which Quakers could do. We were... You know, if I got drafted, they could not give me a gun or put me through any of those drills. I got a desk job, but I never got drafted. My brother did.
Okay. Sorry about that, Mike. My puppies, who all my rescues are here playing.
I love that. I just used the puppy analogy.
Wow, that is fascinating. I didn't know that still applied, that you could object or still enter the service, but you wouldn't have to have a gun.
That was only, well, that, forget.
That was back with the draft.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when we had the draft,
and you and I guess that you still have to register when you become of age. But back then, the draft, and loud, you are still allowed to register. But what is it called?
I saw the movie, Non-Combatant.
Yeah, Non-Combatant, yeah.
Yeah.
You saw what movie?
Hacksaw Ridge. I just saw it. I thought it was wonderful.
Yeah,
it was
good. I know, and he got drafted. And he got drafted. Yeah. That would have been me, though.
He was
I
the biggest
been,
hero of the day, and he wouldn't carry a gun.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm still that way, though.
Gretchen, I love you so much. Thank you for calling in, and I can't wait to see you soon.
I love you too, and I just wanted to say a quick happy birthday and send you the most amazing love and best wishes for another fantastic year, and I adore you.
Thank you. I adore you too, sweetheart. Thank you for being my sister. I love you. For being a part of this movement.
Too.
Take care, sweetheart.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
LA, why don't you read us some comments off the chat? We haven't done that yet. And are there any about you, about your head?
They're all about your head?
No.
It looks like I scalped her from
I know, right?
Brought Ed Ames in here with his tomahawk.
I was going to say Ed Ames.
You and your younger brothers.
All that time with the Westerns. Mm-hmm. It's rubbed off. Oh, you know what? It reminds me of The Alienist. Anyway.
While LA is looking right now, the number to call in is 818-570-5085. You'd like to call and wish Sheena a happy birthday.
We wanted to open up the last hour.
Yeah, 1 hour left.
To just having people call in that wanted to call in. Supposedly Johnny Whitaker's coming soon.
I posted.
You came in time for the real.
That's why I quit. Had a breath mint. Because there's a talk about it.
And then there are other people that just do it, you know?
I know. Believe me, I'm over here, too.
I think so. Because he's going to sit there and you're here.
Oh, no, I'll move.
Oh, you're evil.
I would
hate to come between the two of you.
Oh, my.
So for those of you who haven't been to the Improv or here when we did our live video, sometimes when John shows up, we make out a little. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can only see some of the comments because I went off it and went on. Went to the Vibration Nation page and posted a picture of Darby and I to prove that I have hair.
And a head.
And the top
a head's of the head. Important.
Yeah, well, that is.
Well, my friend Daryl's been watching this whole show. Yeah. Hi, Daryl.
But because I logged out and logged back in, I can't see back far enough.
You might want to go to the I Am Raising the Vibration page.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a good place to also post a picture of your validated.
I couldn't find where I could post a comment or post anything on there, so I don't know why.
Well,
I think only you're allowed to post there.
No, we were
just talking about how everybody's getting, you know, disconnected.
We're all on our phones.
We're trying to keep the ball rolling.
Are you all enjoying
here, right?
Watching us being on our phones?
Yeah, no, don't talk to me. I'm busy.
If you go
track of everybody.
And the bad thing is I'm talking to you here.
No, really. We're texting each other already.
Give the number again, would you, sweetheart?
The number is 818-570-5085. Call now.
And you know, you can say that about the kids, but I left my phone the other day and I had to turn in traffic another 2 hours because I knew I couldn't go the day without it.
Right.
And come back.
Really?
The next day
I've actually gone a day without my phone by leaving it at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've gone days without them when I've broken them or murdered them by dropping them in water.
Yeah, really.
If
you go to our original broadcast on the IamRaisingTheVibe.com page, there are 82 comments, and probably some of them are about your head.
I'm reading a lot, but if you click on it right now, it goes right to the video.
So if you can't,
I'm here and I can see it.
I love it.
We'll be putting the video up later so more people can see it and leave comments.
My friend Daryl goes, Jeffrey and I are the same age, but my lips are sealed.
Yeah. Well, I've been trying to do better about keeping my phone out of my hands.
We've never said
people.
How old I am.
Is it a secret?
No. I'm proud to be me.
Well, why don't you say how old you are?
And what does this represent?
I don't know. Power to the
gay
people.
Gay power.
Purple power.
Purple power.
Purple power.
Ooh,
to
I like
the people.
That. Purple power. No, I'm 63. I'm turning 60 June.
It's beautiful. You don't look
Happy
it.
Happy birthday.
No.
Thank you. Well, I had fat injections all over.
Oh. Good for you. Why didn't I think of that?
The natural way.
You didn't. I said it first.
No, I said, why didn't I think of that? Oh, wait. Because I'm fat. Not that you see. It's fat. Get it? Because get it? I'm fat.
Okay, body image is a serious problem in America.
I'm not really fat. I just have an image problem.
You do?
Honey, we can. Okay, it's not. Okay, I'm fat. I mean, please. I'm obese. What the hell are you? If you're not watching.
Okay, did you bring your saddlebag?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Did you see that? Oh, my God.
No, I love it. Show it to everyone. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but don't share.
It's not a saddlebag.
She doesn't drink.
Water bottle.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Water.
Wonderful.
Winky, winky.
She has a water
now,
bottle.
Do you like to bring your own water as opposed to just having whatever water's around? Is it an environmental thing?
I'm actually doing the lemonade cleanse.
Oh, okay. The
master
done
cleanse.
That before.
I've never done that.
Explain the master cleanse to us and what it means and why you do it. So it's lemons.
The drink is, yes, it's lemons. Lemons, cayenne, and grade B maple syrup.
Yep. Okay.
And that's what you can drink all day long. Mm-hmm. You start the morning with, I get one of those old-fashioned milk bottles and about 2 big heaping tablespoons of salt. And you shake that up and you drink that first thing in the morning. That's
straight
your
salt?
Water? How much water?
Water and salt. Like one of those milk bottles.
And you don't have a heart attack?
Are you high?
I thought if you drink that much salt and water, you'd.
Yeah, no, salt's not.
No, have a heart attack.
About 20 minutes, you don't want to.
I'm sorry. pepper in a cleanse. I would be lifting off that toilet so
wait a
quickly.
Minute. Is it sort of like a facial scrub for your intestines?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
so you drink the salt, and the salt just kind of goes all the way down. And
oh, yeah. No, it edges you out. And no, the drink with the cayenne and everything, that's what you can drink all during the day. That gives you all the vitamins
and
all the energy and all that.
Where's the protein, Darby?
You get enough protein.
I think the longest I lasted on that was about 4 days.
Wait a minute.
I have a friend who did it for like 30.
Wait a minute. You get protein. Yeah. I knew a guy once that had done it for, are you ready? 12 years.
Come on. You cannot do a cleanse. That's not.
No, he did. And I asked him once, but what about the protein, which is what I always ask first as a type 2 diabetic and an O positive personality blood type. And he said, it's a rumor that you need protein after you go through puberty.
Really?
That's
I'm done with puberty. I'll let you know.
Getting protein, there's protein in broccoli, there's protein in
protein in lemons,
and
is there?
Lemons are fabulous. They're also a cleanser.
But they don't have protein.
Look, they stop scurvy.
What in the master
they
cleanse
can clean
has
your
protein?
Dishes.
Not the kind. The maple syrup?
You can polish your furniture.
You can go 2 weeks without protein. Trust me. You can go. The master cleanse you're just supposed to do for 3 days.
Right.
The longest I've done it is a couple of weeks. And like you say, you can go 30.
You've done it 2 weeks straight?
Because the maple syrup has all the vitamins. It has all the energy. The lemon
the sugar,
is the cleansing. The vitamin
sugar,
C.
Sugar, I should say. Yeah.
And it all. Oh, and then at night, don't forget Smooth Move. See, a lot of people just drink
the tea.
This. They don't
it's
do.
A tea.
They don't do the salt.
Oh, it's a tea. Okay.
Yeah, it's a tea.
Yeah, Smooth Move.
But that helps
tea.
You move things through your body, right?
At night, you do the tea. And then you wake up in
the
morning.
Well,
that's
why
you do
I have Bran.
And then you do the drink, and then you are very clean. Nice spring cleaning through the body.
But what happens when you eat your first regular meal?
Nothing.
Well, it depends on what
you mean regular.
If
well,
you
it's
going
to take a while
box,
for you to evacuate. I mean, come on. Yeah. If
no,
you
I
just,
mean, I didn't, because like I said, I did it before. I've done times.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a while, but I didn't have anything weird happen. But, you know, I eat.
I could do it.
I eat pretty clean anyway, aside from this little, you know, sweet tooth, you know, because I've been vegetarian forever and all this stuff. So it's like, you know, I don't run off to Jack in the Box and like
but
eat
this is
a hamburger.
You know that Jake from Boned.
Jelly Bellies don't use gelatin. I know, but that's the reason those are the only jellies.
I know, Jelly Bellies.
Jelly Bellies I'll eat. I mean, only jelly beans I'll eat.
Well, I've never done it. I've always wanted to do a cleanse. I really, really have. I have a wonderful actress friend. My gosh, she's like my niece in New York who is religious about her cleanses and stuff, and she looks amazing.
Well, it's spring cleaning. It's the right time of year to do it, too. Like, you don't want to do it going into winter when your body's storing. Right now, it's, you know, sun's coming out. Like, the plants, all we all have cycled. So right now is a great time to do a cleanse.
We're all on a call.
We're all on a cycle, baby.
Ever since my hysterectomy.
I'm like, I'm not.
I don't think I could do a cleanse for 3 days. I mean, I do cleanses, but they're different. Like, 3 or 4 nights a week.
Well, you do, yeah, like, fast.
I fast after lunch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I eat lunch. And then I fast and I drink a lot of water.
So for you do it for fast?
Part I do of it, day. Yeah, but I'll do it like, okay, so I try to do it every day that I don't have something at night.
Right.
So days where I get off here either at 7 or at 9 and I just go and
a lunch,
go home.
Listen, a lunch-to-lunch fast is a great
yeah,
way
I
to do
it. Yeah, I do a
lunch-to-lunch
fast.
That's a great way to. Everybody tries to start it. And they're like, no, but a lunch-to-lunch is.
I try to do it 3 to 4 days a week, but if it winds up just being two. Okay, and I lose a lot of weight when I do those.
We have a caller.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's this?
I just had to call in and wish you a happy birthday.
Hi, Sweetie. This is one of my very best friends in the whole world, Diane Quinn. How are you, sweetie? And all of you met Diane at the last improv show, people that were there. She's a little reclusive, as some of my little Irish friends are. And a couple of them that were supposed to call in tonight didn't. This is Darby Hinton, Diane.
Hello.
You would love her. And, of course, you met my wonderful friend L.A. Weiss and the amazing J.P. Morgan Hello. At the improv last time. So
yes.
We talk a lot in this movement about lessons. And it's interesting because uh-huh. L.A. and I were just talking about this when we had coffee earlier today. So Diane and I met during kind of a bad times. We were in a group of friends that shifted. And by I mean shifted, they shifted Diane and me. They shifted Diane and me out of the group of friends.
Oh, right. Yeah. Been there.
And it was a very hard time in both our lives. Diane was going through a time where she really wasn't feeling well. And I was dealing with my MIC, which eventually my mom passed, but I didn't know she was that sick at the time. And we didn't know each other that well at the time. So we kind of became friends out of the strangeness, and then we became like sisters, and she became one of my best friends. And I think it our story, Diane, is about how, right, you can make something really beautiful and really ugly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank the universe for doing it. As horrible as that time was, I couldn't imagine a better payback from the universe but to have placed you in my life in such a beautiful way.
I agree so much, and you really are like my family. Hands on Christmas. I mean, we talk as much as we can with for two reclusive Irish people, and it's you know, if you believe that there's a lesson in everything, and if you believe that from every negative thing there's a positive thing. If I ever forgot that in my life, sweetheart, just having you in my life is a reminder that you're the good that came from the bad. And I don't know what I would do without you. And thank you for being my family while my mother was sick and being somebody I could call at all hours of the day and night that would make me laugh during a time when I was taking care of my mom and I was so stressed out and there wasn't a lot to laugh about. And just for having a cool little Irish personality of just like, well, this sucks, and now moving on, and helping me to not get like hung up or bunged up or stuck in because I can be a little bit of a wallower. I can get deep and worry. I know, JP, it's a shock. And all of you pull me out of the doldrums there. But Diane, you didn't know me that well. So you just automatically did that because you're such a giving spirit and you're such a nice lady. And I want to get you involved somehow in this movement because I think your energy will really be a positive
be
thing
nice.
For what we're doing. And I just love you.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I love you too so much. So much. I'm so glad that we have a birthday yet to celebrate
yes.
with you on it.
Yes. And next time you're and Diane and I met at her birthday party.
Oh.
So
exactly.
Birthdays
exactly.
are kind of our my connection, right?
Birthday.
Yeah, but your 60th birthday yeah. party. It's awesome. I love you so much, yeah. my friend. Thanks for calling in. It means so much.
All right, sweetheart. Love you.
Love you too. Take care, honey.
Bye-bye, honey. Okay.
Darby, I got good people in my life, huh?
You sure do.
It's nice. It's nice to know that you have beautiful people in your life. It's an important thing.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you...
This beautiful man who learned to engineer tonight to do this.
In 2 seconds.
This wonderful thing who hears every problem I've ever had in my life.
Half a brain, too.
That's amazing.
That's why. Right? I was listening to all my problems through the top of her head just break off.
It just blows. I can't take it. You know, next time, I think we all should come with green hair.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
there
geez.
You go.
Yeah.
I think that would be so
I want to come with green eyes.
The talking dog. Oh,
there you go.
So my eyes like the background. That's creepy, right?
That would be really cool.
Okay, thank you for calling.
So I'm doing it. Give the number really quick and then.
Okay, our number is 818-570-5085. That's 818-570-5085.
So I'm doing my life right now, and you all let me know what you think of this thing. In order to move forward in my spiritual work, I'm trying to smooth over some old hurts with people where things went bad.
Okay.
And whether that was a fault of mine or not, trying to get to a place where I just say, look, who cares whose fault it is? Let's just smooth this over. We don't have to hang out every day, but let's just go to a place where we feel good about each other. Because I think that my next level of evolvement of being somebody who can be a better example for other people is to smooth over some things where there's some ickiness. And
I think that's wonderful. I think the one challenge from the way you presented it is that you're relying on them to feel the same way about it.
I am.
And that you have no control over.
I don't.
And you shouldn't have any control over.
And I shouldn't. And that's okay. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
But absolutely for you, you should definitely put it in.
I thank you for saying that.
So far, I have I've done it with 5 people.
Nice.
And two of them have turned into friends. One is friendly, I don't see, but still friendly, good feelings. Is a business associate, pretty friendly, good feelings. And one I'm going to get together and sit down and break some bread with, and we're going to talk. And so I feel like, considering I've really only been doing it for the last...
2 months?
Month or so.
I was going to say
a month and a half. I'm feeling really, really, since March, I'm feeling good about how it's going so far.
That's great.
So today when I was...
How far back do some of these wounds go?
High school? Yeah. Some go to high school.
Yeah, that's right.
Some go to high school. 3 of the 5 were high school. One of them is maybe 4 years old, and the other one about the same. And some of them, like, some don't even know what happened. Some of them, just one person, just for whatever, I just stopped hearing. And I don't know why, but I think that I don't care why. I, you know, I was, like I said, I was raised by this very beautiful, benevolent soul, but she was a Scorpio. And she believed in the boundaries of justice. And so her go-to was not, if something to you for no reason, walk up to them and be like, hey, can we just pull out the... You know, the olive branch, that was not really her thing. She was very much into, like, bad people should die. So,
and painfully.
And slowly. And I have her sense of humor. I was at an Easter party yesterday, and I go there for Thanksgiving and Easter. And Thanksgiving, we all hold hands around the table and talk about what we're thankful for. So then it was Easter, and they said, well, let's all go around the table and hold hands. And I said, oh, is this when we all talk about who we wish would die for our sins? And nobody laughed.
I was
making a list.
I would have rolled.
Everyone looked a little, oh, my God, she said something not about peace, the vibration girl.
Anything.
So I just got to a point where
the vibration girl.
The vibration
girl. Have you been getting that now?
Oh, yeah. Everybody expects me to always be like, it's okay, my son and my daughter. Yes. Everything is love.
That's a lot of pressure, too.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's all right. It's not. I actually kind of like it. But publicly,
that's what she has people like me for.
But then
I'm like, just be whatever. Just be whatever. Let it all out.
So L.A. is like my spiritual portrait of Dorian Gray. So I can wander around, and J.P. too. I can wander around the world and be like, I love all of God's children. And then I can call these two at 2 in the morning and be like, damn. Because you have to get it out with somebody, right? Or it's unnatural. Because
stuff happens.
But I don't know where it came into my consciousness. I was doing a little vibrational uplift prayers around the new moon. No, not the new moon, the last full moon.
The last full moon.
The end of February's full moon. beginning of March, actually. You know what? I just don't. Sometimes I think that's when you get good messages from the universe. And I thought, I just don't want all this old hurt. And then literally a couple days later, like I said, a friend of mine from high school passed in LA, and I went to his memorial, and I ran into a bunch of people, and some of them maybe didn't like me in high school, and I just started having a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And then I just said, look, I don't know why we all didn't get along, but it's 30-something years later. Why don't we just let it go? And if it had anything to do with me, and if it was my fault, I'm sorry. No, it wasn't intentional. I'm very nerdy and awkward, and sometimes I say nerdy, awkward things, and worse when I was a teenager. And let's just start fresh. And it's a lot of people are excited to start fresh.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I love that because
they're carrying it around too.
Yes. Yes. Everybody's carrying it around.
I know.
And you know, one of the people who I really in high school I think didn't like me. we're talk on the phone and email, and they think she's amazing. So.
Well, it's interesting to hear someone else's perspective, especially after that long.
Yeah.
You know, because you guys talked, and her perspective was just so different than yours.
Well, that's how it is always.
Well, right. But but it's interesting when you get to hear it because, you know, it's just...
It's just having a dialogue.
Well, when you were two adults coming together after many years.
Yeah.
And when you talk as an adult on a level without...
I know you are, but what am I?
Really, you studied my boyfriend? Okay.
Well, and then I think, 35 years beat you up a lot on the earth.
It does.
And either it makes you more mellow or it makes you more closed up and more defensive. And I think lucky for us, it kind of put us both in a place where we were willing to sit down and have
a conversation. She doesn't realize it. She's in the, we can't say the bucket 50, 50 years.
Yeah.
What is that?
The bucket list you're talking about or what?
No, not the bucket list. If you see 50s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bucket.
You get to the part where it's you know what? It doesn't matter what you did.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Well, she already realizes this.
Let me tell you something, and I will say the F word tonight because I'm allowed to. It's going to shock Sam.
Oh, you are?
My river of fucks has run dry.
Yes! So that is. Yay!
With people who are unnecessarily dark and petty and horrible.
Thank you. Right. The pettiness drives me crazy.
And if you revisit a situation from your past and the person is still a douche, then you just say, okay, well, I said my piece and now I can go on.
That's it. That's all I was saying.
But sometimes it's just that you both, like L.A. said, it's both were looking at it from a different way and you weren't seeing the other person's thing. And that person really is wondering why you're not calling. And so that's why, and we were just talking about a situation today at coffee that I didn't handle wrong, but I think I handled badly because it happened right when I was sick and it happened when I had to kind of go like whoop like that and turn everything off emotionally because my whole focus had to be taking care of her and being strong for her and not going crazy while she was sick. And I think when this whole thing went down in the middle of it, instead of my natural go-to, which is to call somebody, what can we do to fix this? What can I do? When the bad behavior started, I just kind of was like, okay, I'm done with this. You figure it out and come to me when you figure it out. Because that's how that was one of those situations where sometimes we make the mistake of reacting to others as we would want to be reacted to. Like if you call me, look, whatever our problem is, go figure out what's going on and come back to me. I'll go figure out what's going on and come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
But which is why we're best friends for a million years. Right. And we're best friends for not a million years, but still. Other people aren't like that. They need to be coddled a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was just at no place in my life to do it.
And that was a big changing part of your life too.
Yeah.
And look, high school, come on. We're all searching for what was going on and our pecking order.
Sure.
And God, you remember Don't Trust Anybody Over 30? That chant?
I remember the movie.
Well, in this recent situation was but still, it's I think sometimes I could have handled it better.
Okay.
So maybe I'll give it a shot.
And you went back and admitted it.
Well, that's what I'm going to do.
That's the thing
I haven't done yet.
That's the one she's
working on. That just came
on
to me today I think I'm going to try to approach it and just say just that. Look, I don't know how it could have been different, but I could have handled it better.
Mm.
And if that's the case, I apologize. And are you interested in maybe working towards becoming friendly acquaintances?
You know, I've gotten that a lot. There's a lot of people, especially with their parents, and oh, my this, and they're terrible.
Sure.
you know, my dad died when I was a year old. My mom died when she was young. And you have parents. Go out there and talk to them. Reach to them. You know, you don't have to agree. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
But at least you're lucky and blessed that you have them. And a lot of these, when you don't talk, and they're the same way. Why didn't it happen? What did I do? And it's great. It's big enough and bold enough and secure enough in their vibration that it's a positive reason you're doing it. Hey, what happened? And like you said, it sparked new friendships, new connections.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And also, you know, when you have a problem with somebody or somebody's, all the other people that like you both are in this weird place. And it just, if you just can, you don't have to hang out with them or become best friends with them again. But if you can just be like friendly acquaintances and just, you know, everyone put their guns down and shake on it. It takes all the pressure off all those other people in your life
that feel like,
and at this point in my life, there's not a single person I can think of that if they came to me and said just that thing I was saying, that I wouldn't say, no worries. Let's just go on. Actually, there's one more person. There have been six of them because somebody actually came to me with that same thing a year after this person got very upset and stopped talking to me, and I know why. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't think this has anything to do with me, and I think in a year he will probably come back around. And just recently I got a voicemail just saying, I'm sorry and I miss you. And course I said, no worries, I love you, take care of you, because... I want to be a bigger person than to be hung up on an instance like that. There was a great friendship before that, and I don't know if we'll ever be that close again, but it doesn't matter. We're going to have good feelings towards each other, and it's the feelings towards each other is what matters.
Yeah,
I'm not saying, like, go back to everybody who did you wrong and be like, I still love you. Can we have lunch Thursday?
I was going to say, for those of us who are battered and abused.
Right. Well, no, I mean, you know, there are some, and I try to tell my daughter this all the time when she doesn't want to just... own up to some of her behavior. You know, I mean, she's 9, but...
She's a Scorpio, too,
and
Darby.
She's a Scorpio. Yeah, she's... She's Scorpio and, like, her rising is Scorpio, and she's got, like, so much Scorpio, it's insane.
Very similar chart to my mom's, interestingly enough.
You know, I keep telling her, I'm like, look, you know, when things happen, we don't expect the world. It's just... we just want people to own up to what they did.
Yeah.
You know, and then she will. She'll say, I'm sorry about things that... have happened, like when she was having tantrums literally every day for 2 months over the holidays. And she'd be like, sorry, kind of go, thank you. I don't say I accept your apology. I just acknowledge that she made it. And she's like, why don't you ever accept my apologies? And I said, I'll know you really mean it when the behavior stops. You know, I said, because it doesn't matter if you say you're sorry, if you're going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I said, when you're real, it'll stop. And, because she would take out every little frustration at me. I was her whipping post. And so it's stopped for the last couple of months, thank God. But but you know, we have the same thing, like with...
there's a flip of...
My husband's parents, I don't even call them my in-laws. My husband's parents, I have not, except for one horrifying phone call a few years ago, just because he didn't know what else to do and he handed me the phone. I have not spoken to them since 1994. It was frightening. And
there are those people.
And there's
there
nothing.
Really,
she's never, well, then, she's never, ever, ever once owned up to anything. And so if she, if...
oh, is her last name Morgan?
I know, right? But literally, I mean, she, you know, and I'm like, you know, I had to step away and let him have whatever relationship he needed. I was raised where you stand up for yourself, and if people are treating you badly, you walk away.
Yeah.
And so, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I couldn't fight his battles for him. Now, oddly, when I had my little health crisis, you know, nearly a year and a half, however long it's been now, for the first time on him, and this year we'll be together 30 years, married for 28, as long as I've known him, this last... since he first, he wasn't even going to tell them that I was in the hospital is when I had the embolism. He, they happened to call and then, or text him about something. And they actually asked, how are you? Usually an invitation to tell him how he's wrong about something, but he did it.
Hi.
And
who's calling?
Hello.
Hello? Hi.
Hi, this is Roxy Esther calling for Sheena Metal.
Hi, Roxy. How are you? Hang on one sec, sweetheart. Someone's just finishing a story. Hang tight. Yeah,
so, okay, no problem.
So anyway, literally for the first time ever, when he said, you know, oh, she's in the hospital, this is what's going on, she's going to be having surgery, she might have cancer, all that stuff. For the time that I was going through treatment and everything, so the last, you know, year and a half, I mean, almost a year out of it. But it was the first time I ever actually treat him like they were his parents and like you would treat a child and were supportive of him and didn't make everything all about them and how they all had one foot in a grave since I've known them since they were in their 40s.
Did they support you at all?
Well, I don't talk to them. No. I still don't. I stay out of it. But they were really, really there for him and actually listened for the first time ever.
Yeah.
So you know, if they come around and, you know, there may be some sort of reconciliation, but it just takes one sincere apology and then don't repeat the behavior.
Yeah, exactly. Roxy, how are you, my friend?
Hi, good. I had it on my calendar to call you earlier, then it just hit me and I'm like, I need to call in before 9 o'clock. Too, and we want to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Welcome,
hi, Lindsay.
Lindsay's Roxy's daughter is wonderful. Hi, sweetheart.
Yes.
Roxy,
yes.
Of course.
So we were just thinking about you.
One of the Glow Girls, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, and my BFF. I think you just called because we were talking about Scorpios, and then you appeared.
It was weird. Like all of a sudden, it just hit me to call, but I kind of have that effect.
And
you
we
know,
were
if
just
I feel
talking
like
about,
you know, then I just do it.
We were talking about my mother being a Scorpio and my best friend's daughter being a Scorpio, and then I think you just heard Scorpio and you called in. How are you, my friend?
That is crazy. I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm really good with your face. And
I know. So at least I got your voice.
You got absolutely got my voice. We're long overdue to do some radio, but Roxy's had a loss, so I was trying to give you a little bit of time to get your personal stuff taken care of.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm working on it. I'm keeping, which keeps my mind off of stuff.
Good.
So
that's what
that's
I did,
the only
too.
Way to do it. Like today, I had a hard day today. But you know what? You have those days. And when you do, you just got to shut down and it's okay.
I had a good day today. I had a hard day yesterday with Easter. A weird thing happened to me yesterday. So Roxy lost her mom, too.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving. Easter, I do four things every Easter. Party in the Hollywood Hills with Patty. I do a party in Silver Lake with my friend Billy Clift. And then I go to my brother Jeff's house. The different Jeff. My life is full of Jeffs. And go with he and his boyfriend in Encino. And then I drive to Huntington Beach to see my best friend Kelly. And I decided I would stop at mom's and get her mail, driving down the street. And it was one of those gloomy, creepy, overcasty kind of days. And I thought, God, this day's depressing. And I thought, oh, that's okay, because I'm going to go to mom's and she'll cheer me up. Part of me thought I was going to spend Easter with mom.
Oh,
and then all
dear.
Of a sudden I thought, oh, no, that's not what happens when I go to that house now. And it really kind of hit me. But, you know, Kelly lost her mom 2 months before I lost mine. And Patty lost her mom a month before that.
Yeah.
And so to be with her and for us to be able to both sit down over a cup of tea, as the Irish like, Darby, and say, you know what, we're just effing sad today. It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, and it's okay. It's okay. Like when my stepdad was on the grave, and he was so sad. So I think that kind of affected me. Then I got really sad. And I'm like, you're right. We don't have them here. Like the holidays, I think, are a really, really hard time.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
So
they are.
But then you wake up the next day, right?
And you keep going. You have to. You have to keep going.
You know, it's weird, Sheena. It's like listening to your stories, even with your mom, believe it or not, has helped.
Good.
Because you talk about her like she's still there.
She is.
Through your stories, she is still there.
She is. And through this movement, right? I founded it based on her teachings. And
you remember when I did your show, and I think I just lost my prior to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up on your stage, and I was just like,
at the improv.
I was still out of it. But I'm like, okay, if I can do this, then I can keep going on and doing other things.
Yeah.
So
that's important, right? Well, my mom passed on March 11th of 2016, and that next week I was bringing two plays into my theater company. And then a week after that was my birthday party at the Improv. And a week after that, I was starting the Vagina Monologues. And people kept saying, everybody was so sweet. They were like, what do you want me to help you cancel? And I said, are you kidding me? I'm not canceling. I think my mom would kick my ass if I canceled something. And let me tell you, having those three things to do got
helps
me through that two months. Because time, And every time I got sad, I focused on how busy I was and how Mom would want me to be doing it. And it just, it's sometimes work is the best thing to pass the time.
Yeah. That's why I'm here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the cruise actually helped me because I kind of wanted just to say, you know, forget it. I don't want to do the cruise. But there was running on it, looking forward to it all year long. And then we had the hurricanes. We had everything that could possibly happen.
Wow.
Like before that cruise. But the afterglow was really good, but the cruise itself kind of sucked.
Yeah, I was at...
But we made it nice. But that got me through the last 2 months.
Good for you, sweetheart. And maybe the main thing exciting maybe coming up, I got a phone call.
You got a phone call? Yes, something is. In fact, somebody's coming over tonight to talk about your phone call.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I got a phone call, and they said, what do you
did
want?
Did you also know that the Afterglow is working with Shatner Universe right now?
I did not know that.
Jim Shatner's company, Shatner Universe.
Nice. Yes,
on something.
Nice. You, honey, you just tell me where I have to be and what I have to look like, and I will be there.
So
you haven't seen me in a full one piece
of leotard. You got that phone call.
I did,
which is a good thing, and that's going to be that's actually going to be a great thing.
It's a good thing. I'm excited. You just keep me posted, sweetie. I'm the unofficial glow girl.
I will keep you posted. I want hi everybody. Saw your Facebook for a second, so saying hi and wishing you a happy birthday and love you, Sheena.
Love you, sweetheart.
And let me know when you got your next event.
I will. April 29th at the Improv. Come with me. I would love it.
Okay, Vegas for the CAC. That's a wrestling thing.
No problem. If you're in town, come. I love you very much, my friend. We'll talk soon. Let's do some radio.
All right.
Bye, honey.
Happy birthday, dear.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, more trug. Wow, it's wonderful. Nice. Yeah. So they're doing something that I can't really talk about yet with Glow. And they might be performing. So it was funny because I was in hosting a fundraiser for cystic fibrosis in Key West, and I was actually on the phone with LA when that call came in, and I was like, who in the world is this? What in the world? And then I called, and that's what it was about. And it's exciting. It's
fun. You can't
talk about it, but it involves acting. Good. Which I don't get to do enough, and I should be doing more of.
Yes, you should.
And
that's what we said when we sat down here, and you were saying that you didn't think you wanted to do that, that it might have saved you that you didn't. So now you're jumping into
it. As a child.
Yeah. No, I was an actor my whole adult life, and I still am. No, I love being an actor. It's really where my heart is. But I don't know if I had the right personality to be a young actor.
Okay.
Because I wasn't very gregarious, and I wasn't very tough. You know, I'm shy.
Like me.
Yes. I mean, I just
dragged her around in my boyfriend's car.
That's right.
Because
that's what I did.
I was already acting then. A senior and she was a freshman.
And we were in theater together.
Yeah. And so
and she
that's
did.
Funny.
We just dragged her around in my boyfriend's.
What
LA
was your
had
favorite
this
play you did together?
We did Noel Coward's Fumed Oak together. Fumed Oak is it's a long one act. So the first scene, it's about a man who lives with a really awful wife, mother-in-law, and daughter. And all of us just henpeck him. And then the second part of it, he basically tells them all, go screw yourselves. I'm taking all the money and good luck living. And he leaves. Well, the poor guy cast in the play, he didn't know. He froze. I don't remember any of his lines.
Well, and we hadn't done a very good job of rehearsing the second part.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like, you know, we had the first part down. So when we got into the second part,
he really wasn't there much. What to do. And he didn't know. So we just all started making things up, and I just started ad-libbing. Geez. And I didn't know that I could ad-lib, and people started laughing. And it was really one of the light from the heavens shines on you and says, oh, you're actually good at this. And I remember my mom took me out to lunch the next day, and she said, so I have a confession to make. I was so fearful when you came to me when you were 5 and told me you wanted to be an actor that you were going to be terrible, and I was going to have to find a way to support you. But you're good.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
And then after that, she was like, what costumes can I make? Where can we go? What can we do?
Exactly.
Because I think she thought I didn't really have an actor's personality because I was so shy and so introverted.
A lot of actors are.
Yeah.
I mean, those like me, I'm very gregarious, and it's just, but it's how I literally came out of the womb with tap shoes. Okay.
Yes. And you're wearing them now.
Your poor mom.
What's your point? Oh, don't pity her. She let me know. She is still alive and still goes,
and
you ripped me.
Bows.
Yeah. Yeah. My mother. That 89-year-old lovely lady who does nothing but kvetch about everything. that's me. I should say that's about me. Of course, my older brother. Anyway, so, I've always been big. I mean, I had a teacher actually says, you have so many affectations. And I didn't know what that was because this has always been how I've acted all my life.
Yeah.
I'm going, so how do you know what's an affectation if
that's how you've always
done
it?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay. Now, I'm one of five kids, so, you know.
I can be age, then I'm big.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm with my best friends and I feel comfortable, then I'm big. But I'm not somebody who walks. She said, I never knew you wanted to be an actor because you weren't a kid that walked in a room and danced on the tabletops. And I'm like, ooh, just thinking about that makes me go,
I know,
oh,
right?
No, no.
That
no.
makes me break out the hives. Yeah.
So, you know. How about you?
Yeah.
Well, you were born different with you, but were you like a show-offy kid, Darby?
No, I don't think so. But like you say, I started 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, you know, in front of the camera.
Were you a method actor then at 6 months?
Yeah.
Method
after, like,
baby?
A baby. Yeah. Yeah. Wet diaper
you had
and
it
all.
Down.
Wow.
But no, I mean, I don't have that distinction because it was just what I did. What, you know, who I grew up with, all the other actors, and
but that
my trouble was high school. When you were saying that about, I couldn't even imagine going back to high school. First of all, I don't remember any of their names, but beat up, and it was a terrible.
So your high school experience was not a pleasant one.
No, I literally got beat up because I didn't have older brothers. I didn't know to fight back. And it was, oh, let's see if you're as tough as you were in Daniel Boone. You know, oh, my girlfriend thinks you're cute. When you don't
you're
fight
like, that's
back.
That's not my fault.
Comes your fault.
Fight back, then even more people pick on you.
Right.
And,
yeah.
It was a whole big learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like high school.
So.
Yeah.
I loved high school.
High school for me was saved by the Madrigals and
yeah,
drama.
I was in a Madrigal group.
And I played football and wrestled.
Oh,
I
wrestled.
Both.
I wrestled in water polo.
Oh, my brothers, both brothers did the water polo.
Yeah.
They were the water babies. I was the landlubber.
Well, and listen, the other good thing about getting bullied, though, and terrible, is it led me on a life of checking out martial arts and remembering that I, you know, been with a fox when he was doing Green Hornet.
Hello.
That guy knows how to protect himself.
I know, right?
So I, you know, and then I got to go to Hong Kong and I got to find out who he studied under and study with them. And
you know, I mean, yeah.
Taking you back to that, his teacher, William Chung, who's the world's grand master of Wing Chun. I don't even know how old he is. And he looks like he's young. But he fasts every Wednesday he fasts. And you were talking about, you know, your friend that cleanses and how it keeps you. And if that's whatever he does, I want to be on his program.
I wish I could fast a whole day, but... When I'm on the
air, lunch to lunch
I can't,
is a whole
but
day.
But lunch to lunch is a
whole day. Do that many times in the week. That should just be a one thing. And other than that, just eat normally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I
just
try to
give
do
your
it.
Body that one day to just relax and digest all
okay,
the
Okay. But you said something that it always triggers something. And you said the word normally. You
yes.
know, and the only thing that usually separates my meals or nap, I'm looking at, you know, graze time. And that's hard for me.
Well, I don't graze. I used to, but I did on jelly beans.
No, I always
graze. She jokes
graze.
With me
I'm
about
grazer.
Grazing all the time.
See?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And that's just that I don't mind doing a little meal, a little meal. But when I have to sit down
grazing.
For 3 meals a day, and because I've been on every diet, everything. I even went to Schick Center and learned how to become bulimic. So
they had classes in bulimia?
They make you eat the food, but you can't swallow it. They make you chew it and taste it, then they make you spit it out.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I am very serious.
Oh, my goodness.
They closed and they were sued, so what the hell.
Scary.
It's very scary. It's like, what's normal for, you know, I'm a large guy, so I never understood when they say, well, you know, you should only weigh 170 pounds. And I'm going,
what?
Are you high? So I actually...
How tall are you?
I was 6'2", but I think I'm shrinking. Yeah, that's what the chart. I mean, get this. Otherwise, I was
what
like
chart
that obese no, chart, you
the
know,
Ethiopian from, chart.
Well, even the BMI things and everything. I mean,
it's when, stupid.
I was in my early mid twenties. I was in really really good shape. I've always been really muscular.
Ah.
My at that point was like 17%, which is really low for a female. Yeah. I mean, I was just muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I weighed between 160 and 165 pounds. And my really good friend at the time, you know, I mean, I'm built like a linebacker, you know. And she was, we were exactly the same height. You're supposed to weigh like 145 or less, right? And one time I got down to 152 and I looked anorexic. It was awful. But she was the total opposite. Her shoulders were about this wide. She was, you know, a standard pear-shaped girl with pretty much no muscle tone. You know, she never worked out or anything. She didn't have this chest. And be honest. But the thing is that we were exactly the same height and we were the same age. And if she got over 120, she looked fat.
Wow.
And she was definitely far less healthy than I was, but still at 160 with 17% body fat, if you looked at the chart, I was considered obese.
Well, I lost 150 pounds and I got down to 106.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
I was at the doctor and I had to take off my shirt because, you know, I had in my physical. And he just went, "You need to gain weight." Words that I have never heard in my life. Someone go, "You need to gain weight? Are you kidding?" And I just remember, oh my gosh. But see, that's just it. My brain and our body dysmorphia, my brain was telling me, oh no, this is the weight I'm supposed to be because that's what I've always been told. And then it's like, are you high? And then, you know.
I know. And now they've got the BMI thing, which is just as bad.
I couldn't imagine.
I wrestled at 235.
Right? I just want to say that I've lost 150 pounds 17 times probably.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's it, losing it.
We're like this, and that's what I've been in. And
well, that's why you can't say I lost weight. You have to say I got rid of weight.
Oh, yeah.
If you lose it, you can always find it.
Yeah.
We'll try that next time.
I've been holding it for you, just in case.
thank you.
You're welcome. You know what I mean?
Gosh.
No, when you do that and you lose.
Now we're back.
That's it.
I'm
sorry. Someone's going to call up and ask about vaginas.
Somebody needs the best Beavis and Butthead laugh right now.
I think we're coming to the end of the road.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, we are.
Once you say doo doo, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
I know how to close a show.
Johnny Whitaker, was it something I said?
I know.
Was it something I did?
We missed the makeout.
Cinnamon Jelly Bellies for nothing?
Well, you were saving the rest.
He's going to attack you in the stairwell. He's lurking out there somewhere.
Yeah, it was so for the big kiss.
Oh.
okay, so
no birthday kiss for you.
Thank
you
all.
Still have radon's lipstick on you.
Oh, do I?
Yes, you do.
Oh,
okay. Well, this is a night where I swing that way.
Yeah,
that's a nice thing about me.
You just never know.
Doesn't matter. Swing in any direction. Your loss is radon's gain, Johnny Whitaker. So.
Why am I laughing?
Thank you all so much for wishing me happy birthday. You guys have just touched my soul.
Happy
and this has
birthday.
Been the best birthday ever. And thank you who was on the show, called into the show tonight. Thank you to my very best friends, J.P. Morgan and Ellie Weiss, and the wonderful Darby Hinton, who's soon to become my poker partner, I think.
Yeah.
I said poker again.
You got to take down Dawn.
And yeah, we're going to take down Dawn together, man.
Take her down to poker, baby.
That's right. We're going to take Dawn.
Oh.
So here's what you can all do for me. Thank you for listening to Raising the Vibration. And we're, of course, at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. That's the radio show. Our web community is at TheVibrationNation.com. Mm-hmm. The movement is at IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And soon it's going to be at RaisingTheVibration.org. You can go there right now and see our thank you to all the wonderful people we announced tonight, including Darby, that have joined our advisory board. It means more to me than you will ever know that you've come on board this movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity. Until I see you next week here on Raising the Vibration, next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m., thank you for everybody who's watching on Facebook right now. I know that peace seems like something that we can't obtain right now in our country and in the world, but you can never give up hope that mm-hmm. someday we will live in a place of nothing but peace. Please don't ever forget that. And the quickest way we're going to get there is love. Put so much love into your life. Love everyone. Live in love. Think of life in terms of and spread as much love as you can everywhere you can. And a great way to start with that is kindness. If each of us just upped the amount of kindness in our lives every day, our vibrations would lift. The person we're bestowing the kindness upon, their vibration would lift, or the creature, and the vibration of the world would lift. Yeah, think yeah. about that. Yeah. And the last one is a tough one, I know. It's unity. We are one human family, my friends, and we need to live as one human family and love our fellow brothers and sisters and people. We don't have to agree with what everyone does, but we do have to love each other. Peace, love, kindness, and unity. Keep those words in your head. This phrase, raising the vibration. Keep raising the vibration. Till I see you next week, I'm Sheena Metal. I'm the happiest birthday girl in the world. I love you all. Thanks for listening. And how about my wonderful tribe? Aren't they fantastic?
Happy birthday.
We'll see you next
birthday.
Time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk.